Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's message I've entitled Older Than Abraham, and definitely that is who Jesus is. He's older than Abraham, and he comes from all eternity. He is the true God. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." This is our text. Please be seated. Now, our Queen of Canada, Elizabeth II, she will be 93 years old later this month, April 21st to be exact. We'll pray for her in our general prayer, and we often do. We sang the hymn, God Save the Queen, on November the 11th, because Remembrance Day happened to fall on a Sunday this last year. But the winds of change are blowing. Elizabeth has a tolerance for religious diversity in the civil realm, as a good monarch should, but she's still a Christian. I believe that she is. To her, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. She holds to the faith, since she holds the title Defender of the Faith. But the winds of change are coming because Prince Charles is expecting to exercise a faith that is much more conducive to the modern age. It is said, as he said in a speech, that he will not accept the title Defender of the Faith, but plans to remove a little word, to remove the little word the, to reshape his role as Defender of Faith. This will happen, be accepted, even praised by many. For the critics out there are saying, about time. In a book sold through Amazon, written by Joni and Tom Schultz, Why No One Wants to Be Around Christians Anymore, the authors argue how Americans and other Western peoples, I might add, cannot be about the business of preaching John 14:6 as Jesus' words, I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Such a Jesus is arrogant, they argue. How can he come along and say suddenly that anyone else who holds a different faith is damned to hell and for all eternity? We want a different Jesus, they demand. It's madness, the bloggers write. Such a theology won't work in today's pluralistic world of many gods. Well, of course, all things that are old become new again. Truth is divisive. Today we hear the Pharisees lashing out at Jesus as the young upstart trying to change their religion, and they make a point of saying, you're not even 50 years old yet. What do you know? Do you know Abraham? You young upstart. How dare he claim to be the light of the world, the Son of Man, the Messiah himself? They are ready to stone Jesus, but his time has not yet come. He is preserved because he has a mission yet to accomplish. Their hatred is welling up within them. They want to stone this young upstart who dares criticize their faith. But Jesus would never be threatened into silence. He issued forth at least 7 statements claiming the title of God throughout the whole book of John. Other statements, in addition to those mentioned, include, I am the bread of life. They're called the I am statements. That's a name for God. It comes up in the hymn as well. I am the bread of life, Jesus claims. He says, I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus does not come with a new religion. Instead, he is the fulfillment of the Ancient of Days. He claims, I am. He claims the name of Yahweh. Every other religion, from Hinduism to Islam, is the new innovator, inventions of those who have turned away from the true God. For Jesus comes from all eternity. He's no young upstart. He was there at creation, as John 1 says. And later on in one of the other Gospels, it says, Jesus quotes Jesus as saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He was there at the beginning of time and in the world's infancy of time. He claims to be I am that I am. He is Yahweh in Hebrew. From the days of Adam and Eve, there has been only one true religion. From all eternity, there has been only one true God. And Abraham was a worshiper of the true God. Abraham was a worshiper of the triune God. The three messengers of God who visited Abraham in Genesis 18 are to be understood in Christian tradition as a reference to the divine Trinity. He knew the Son of God also, Abraham did. We encounter that in today's Old Testament reading in Genesis 22. Abraham knew the Son of God. He knew the Messiah before the angel revealed to Mary that his name would be Jesus, the one who saves. He experienced the pre-incarnate Christ on Mount Moriah as the very angel of the Lord, and his actions there as he fulfilled God's command and he held back the knife. He was foreshadowing the time when not Isaac would be sacrificed, but Isaac, pointing forward to the time when Jesus himself would be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And Jesus is there in our text today, arguing with the Pharisees where he is in the very temple courts, the place of sacrifice. He will be the sacrifice for sin. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, he affirms all of this. He affirms that he is God from all eternity. He claims to be the very God revealed to Abraham at the near sacrifice of Isaac. He is also the I am that I am revealed to Moses at the burning bush. So if you ever take a look at some of the beautiful icons that are painted in the Eastern churches, in the Orthodox churches, they'll paint that beautiful scene of the Lord speaking from the burning bush, and it is a figure crouched in the bush. And what is the figure? The figure is of Jesus. And for all of this, Jesus is hated by the Pharisees. Jesus continues to be hated by the Pharisees of today. But you know what? Our Lord does not hate those who have succumbed to the innovators of false religion. Even Abraham had to be rescued from them before he inherited that title, Friend of God. Abraham had a pagan background before. His ancestors, of course, they came from Noah, the righteous one, but they fell away and were serving pagan gods, and Abraham too was wrapped up in it all before he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was 75 years old, Abraham was, before God called him and he came into the light of truth. It shows us that no one is ever past redemption. Doesn't matter the age, God may call someone forth and they may have hope. Before that, as all the people of Ur, he wandered from the God of Noah to worship a pantheon of mystical gods ruled by the moon god, whom they regarded as the Lord of heaven and the divine creator. As we think of these things, what Abraham came from, the age that he was before he was called to the true faith, we have great hope, and knowing that might soften the blow to those having to own up to the fact that there is one Lord, there is one faith, one baptism. Abraham came to faith. God established a covenant with him. But of course, Abraham struggled to remain within it. Abraham had relapsed into idolatry with Sarah when he embraced Hagar to give birth to Ishmael in the hopes of finding the son of promise by his own efforts, rather than wait on the timing of God. He experienced grief, but he repented. He would be led up Mount Moriah, where he encountered the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself. He had our Lord's ultimate sacrifice foretold through his actions. What a wondrous coming to faith and realization of faith that is. Abraham would have heard of Christ's work on the cross from a heavenly vantage point. He would have heard of his resurrection from the angels who would have been on the ground at the time. He would have embraced the incarnate Christ as he ascended into heaven. And in a moment that seems like but a nanosecond to him, he waits for the consummation of all things. I look forward, and I pray that you also look forward, the sitting down of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the eternal kingdom. But it means the sacrifice of pride. With Abraham, we must break with the false religions, sometimes of our fathers, sometimes of our forefathers. I bet, and I know, if we trace anyone's family tree here, we're going to come back to a time when the families did not believe in the one true God. But we must break with the false religions. This generation must break with a society that wants everyone to be right, and no one required to sacrifice their own beliefs. But truth requires the sacrifice of pride. Abraham sacrificed his pride at the age of 75 by God's grace. And again, as he failed, as he faltered, as he repented and was brought back in, the sacrifice of pride, till he was to give up his son. All of the apostles, too, had to sacrifice even their lives for he who is the way, the truth, and the life. The once pagan Roman centurion also sacrificed by God's grace, and he heard the words of Jesus, which I pray we all may hear in these trying times. He says to him, "I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May we all, though, rather that it happened, that we all be of that number who sit and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, sacrificing our false beliefs and the currents of this world that says it really doesn't matter what you believe, to turn our faith, as God calls us, to Jesus, the true God, from all eternity. Before Abraham was, he says, "I am." We worship the eternal God, the true God. May we rejoice in that till we sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in the true faith and to life eternal. Amen.